Del Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Good evening. Welcome to the Phil Hendry Show, and we're back from an extended weekend because business is heating up. Picking up may not be exactly the word, but heating up, I think, as we move toward the end of the month of June, as we move off of the Talk Radio Network platform and we proceed onto a new terrestrial radio platform. Yes, you heard me right. That is where we have aimed this starship, and that is where we see ourselves landing on another terrestrial platform, because the questions have been...
Yes, well, there are people asking, are you going to do the podcasting? Are you going to do...
Yeah, and...
Excuse me for just... I'm not done yet.
Sorry.
The podcasting, are you going to do...
Like a satellite.
I'm not done yet.
Okay, but...
Like a satellite.
I'm not done yet.
Satellite.
I'm not...
Hey.
See, he's the one that starts... Yes, satellite. Thank you, bud. And,
You were about ready to kick his ass a minute ago.
Well, now I don't want to kick his ass. Now, thank you, bud.
Thank you.
Yes, satellite.
Okay, yes. Terrestrial, satellite, digital only. All of these things have been options, and all of them have been investigated, and we are very, 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 very high on... Obviously,
gas.
High on gas. Thank you. We're very high on going on the terrestrial road of journey, on the terrestrial road to find out, like that Cat Stevens song. Remember that?
Oh God!
You not talking about Cat Stevens?
Yeah. What about it?
Well, I left my. It's very well.
Kind of gay, isn't it?
I happen to like Cat Stevens. Well, I mean, you know, it's old and maybe it's a bit. On the flimsy side, on the light side, on the fairy tale side, but I like it. So that was what we were doing, and also discussing the further development of our one-man show, a live theater show, which we are very much, you know, that's happening, baby. Don't worry about it. We were hoping to launch in the spring. It's going to take a little bit longer, but nonetheless, all of these things are going to happen. It's just a matter of you know, when, and as we... You know, as you do them, you get new ideas, and you change the projection, you change the date when you think you'll be able to do it, you change what it is you want to do. Maybe it's longer, maybe it's shorter. And one of the things that I do, and I probably am worse at this than most, is I let my audience in on all these things. I mean, I literally allow the audience a day-to-day view of how these things develop. And, you know, sometimes I'm overstating something or...
Well, you're getting the dates wrong, Phil. We get a lot of people who will call up or call... a bud or me, and they'll say, well, why did he say that? And I'll say, well, I don't know. And they'll say, well, is he a liar? Is this pathological? And I'll say, I honestly don't know.
Why would you say that?
Because I know you're not a pathological liar, but I'm trying to keep the audience...
Yeah, try to keep on our side.
Yes, I'm trying to keep them on our side. So they'll say... Is Phil a pathological liar? You see?
Uh-huh.
Well, what does the uh-huh mean?
Well, it sounds to me like you're encouraging that view.
I'm not encouraging, but Phil, I can't sit there and say, well, how dare you, you slut, or whatever it is I want to call them.
You don't have to call him a slut. You can say Phil's not a pathological liar. Phil is projecting some things that may take... extra few weeks, that's all.
Phil, do you want me to go into a big song and a dance and a speech?
Yeah, you can't go into a big speech, man. We know what's going on.
That going into a speech. It's called customer service, customer relations. Well, you know, Phil is working very hard. Thank you very much. Very happy to have you guys with us. But you're sitting there, and you're listening to people calling me a pathological liar, and you're agreeing with them.
Phil, isn't that a part of customer relations?
Yeah, just as good as say, is he a pathological or however you say that? Yeah, he is.
Oh, that's just as good, huh?
Well, it's a form of customer relations, you know.
No, it's not a form of customer relations. Is Phil a pathological liar? Well, you might have something there, pal. Thanks so much for listening to the Phil Hendry Show.
It is a valid point of view. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that's what you've been doing. I'd like you to stop doing that, please.
Yes, sir.
Jeez.
Well, I'm not being Adolf Hitler here. I'm just, please don't do that. Back me up a little bit better.
Jawohl, mein Hauptmann.
Jawohl.
Don't give me the jawohl, mein Haupt... Just please, okay?
Fine, Phil. Don't talk to me like I carry your slop jars. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm not carrying a slop bucket.
I'm not saying you guys are carrying a slop bucket. I'm just saying.
Slop bucket.
You think that's funny? That's what they made people do.
Yep. You know, my great-grandparents carried a man's slop jar.
Did you hear that, Phil? Robert's great-grandparents had to carry a man's slop jar, so don't make jokes of it.
I'm not making any jokes.
You're all laughing about it.
All right, anyway, welcome to the program, folks. Our number 877-876-PHIL, there was that. And we're staying out in Santa Monica, California at a very beautiful place called Shutters. And no, I was not their guest. I paid full price. No, I'm not doing a commercial for them. I just happen to like the place. No, there's nothing about what I'm doing these days that's cut rate. Or am I getting any breaks? The answer is no. In other words, doing business these days, there's probably people that do it and do it very, very well still. My ex-wife, Maria, was one of the greatest I'd ever seen at getting us to these places, you know, like taking vacations for no money at all, you know.
Well, she's using all those miles. She's using all the points.
She's using all the points. She's using all the American Express points, all that jazz. And, you know, so we'd, like, spend no money at all. But, brother, it ain't. Those days are long gone, man. Now, there was a thing here this weekend called the Prancercise that was getting everybody talking online. I'm sure that it's been going on for about a week, but it really reached critical mass here over the last couple of days. And it was this lady, Margaret, you know this woman?
Yes, I know Joanna Rohrbach. She's a wonderful exercise guru. This was done in, it reached its popularity in 1989, called Prancercise. You prance like a horse might prance. Now, I heard Dan saying that it's part of isometrics. Joanna, I don't think she know. I wouldn't know. But you prance, and it gives you strength here, right here.
Rubbing your butt.
Yeah, I know I'm rubbing my... Does he have to do that?
Bud, we get it.
I'll let people know what I'm rubbing, thank you.
Well.
All right, I'm rubbing my butt. God.
Would you let her do it, Bud?
That she's doing.
Okay, and?
Well, so, yes, I'm going, yeah.
I'm not going, yeah. You filth. Yeah, that's...
Take it easy, Margaret. So Prancercise does what?
You see right here, you see this? This is the glutamus mat. See right here? Look, see? See that?
Yeah, you have to pull your dress up.
Could you put your dress down, please?
What?
You got your dress hiked up, and we're looking at your underwear.
This is clinical, and it's... Why is it Jack LaLanne could show his ass, and no one cared? And when I show mine, to show you... See, right here. All in here, right up in here.
Oh, Margaret, you're pointing right to your crotch.
Yes, because it tightens in here, here, right up there. If you three don't stop laughing, so help me God.
Look at your... Ladies and gentlemen...
The audience, I'm trying to tell you three with... You're going to let... Oh, by the way, folks, I'm pointing right to my you-know-what. There. You happy? And then it tightens the belly. It tightens the, you know, these two. And...
Make them bigger?
I'm not going to answer that. But yes, it does. And then the shoulders and the head. And one of the most neglected areas of exercise... What do you think one of the most neglected areas of exercise is? Robert, I'll go first with you. Bud?
Well,
Phil?
You're
right. The face. Now...
You're right. I wouldn't have guessed that.
I don't know that.
The face. The face is neglected. And we have a saying around our Prancercise studio, is your face airtight or is it watertight? Now, what does that mean? Well, it doesn't really mean a lot, but what it does mean is your face toned and tight and ready to take... No, whatever it is... Someone's going to give you. I don't know. What are you laughing at? What are you...
I'm laughing at what you're saying, man. It's just as bizarre a thing as I've ever heard. Your face tightens up so it'll be ready to take what anyone gives it?
You really ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah, sure. All right, anyway, we'll come back. Margaret will be doing the Prancercise with special attention paid to the face muscles, which are neglected quite often in our daily exercise regimens. So it is Prancercise, baby, next. And you might want to... Well, in fact, we will. We'll find the Prancercise video, and we'll have the music. When we come back here, it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and join us online. Our live streaming video happening right now.
Truth is our bitch.
Never.
The Phil
never.
Henry Show.
Hey, lady.
Never forget to roll your eyes.
Show.
Hey, welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and Margaret Gray joins us. Now, what you want to do here, Margaret, is what?
Well, I'm going to play the Joanna Rohrbach video, and I'm going to demonstrate, as we might demonstrate on radio, the Prancercise method. Now, I know a lot of you ladies out there, and this is a difficult part of the program, because every time I try to do something that is going to enhance, enlighten, and tighten. Those are our three E's. Enhance, enlighten, and tighten.
One of those is a T.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it is.
What do you mean, oh, boy?
Can't you let it ride? The three E's. Enlance, enhance. You're the only one.
You said enlance.
I did not. I said, yes, enlance.
What's enlance?
Enlance, enhance. No, enhance, lance.
That's a guy.
That's a guy, right?
Lance? Since when?
Well, okay, what are you talking about?
Enhance, Lance, and Titan is what I'm trying to say.
Enhance, enlighten, and Titan. That's it.
That's it. You're right. I'm sorry. All right, so Oh, damn your ass to hell.
Well, you're the one that's coming up with it. The three E's. First of all, one of them's a T.
I know, I get it. Will you just let me do this? Can I do it my way? Do you mind?
Go ahead, Ms. Gray. Oh, Miss Mary, bum you out.
Thank you very much, bud. All right, we like to enhance and to enlighten and to tighten, and we do that by way of the Prancercise. Now, one of the things that I've introduced that I tried to get Joanna on the phone, I've emailed her three times, and I also tweeted her, and I said to her, Joanna, I'm the one that did the face tightening. I am the one that thought of that. And she has not acknowledged that, and I think it is quite bold of a woman that looks the way she does, and I love her like a sister, don't get me wrong.
Well, what does that mean?
What does what mean?
Well, she looks the way she does, but I love her like a sister.
I came up with the Prancercise facial, all right? Let me just...
Hey, watch it.
Kick his ass. I came up with the Prancercise facial tightening, and I called her and I said, Joanna, and she can't be bothered, she's busy, and so I'm letting everyone know that this is a Prancercise exercise that tightens up all of this here. You see? Here, 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 here.
No one can see, Margaret. We're on the radio.
Yes, they can. You can imagine, ladies, here, here, and here, right? See? And here? You can hear what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
What am I tightening?
Well,
I didn't ask you, bud. I'm asking Phil and Robert. What are you tightening right now?
Your mouth.
Right. That's right. The reason I told you is to sing.
No one can understand what you're saying.
All right, I'm sorry. But that's in right here. See? Now, what part are you tightening, David?
That's your cheeks.
Exactly, my cheeks. Now, you just make it up like this, see?
Margaret, you sound stupid, okay?
I sound stupid. Is that what I heard you say?
Yes, you sound stupid, because this is what you sound like. And all of that.
Right, but you gotta, let people understand what you're saying.
Whatever. All right, so here it is. Here's Joanna. Now, I want all of you gals out there, because I know you men are cynical, and you're all going, and you're laughing. All of you gals, stand in a circle, in a semicircle. If there is a stone or a flat rock in the middle, that is good. It's a little bit of a Wiccan thing. I want to have a flat rock and some running water. All right, if you have any herbs.
Can we just do the exercise, please?
All right, fine. So here we go with the Prancercise.
Hello, I'm Joanna Rohrbach of Prancercise LLC.
Uh-huh.
And I'm here today to show you the four modes of...
Now, right here, do you see her face? See the face?
Yes.
See that right there?
Yes.
See, right? Okay, now watch. I'm going to do the Prancercise facial, And imagine how her face could... Imagine how it can look better.
Why are you whispering, Margaret?
Yeah, why the whisper?
Because I don't want her.
You don't want her to hear you? You're on the radio.
I know it.
Exercise. I've got my ankle weights in place, and my
knees
are ready. So let's stop talking and do some walking.
What about a camel toe?
Stop it. Stop it. What did you say?
What about the camel toe?
There, this has been, Margaret...
Oh, for God's sake.
It's been a thing of discussion. People are saying there's a lot of camel toe happening with this woman. What about it?
What about it? My God, you'd think the men of this country are children. What's the matter? Have you not seen a lady's thing before? What a child. She's wearing her tights very tight. They get sucked up in there. It happens. It happens to me every day. I'm constantly... I borrowed, by the way, ladies, this is a very good, and Phil, if you could just put your hands over his ears.
Okay.
Ladies, if you borrow one of your husband's shoehorns, it acts as a very nice pet.
All right. Can we just please not talk about that now?
Well, look at you all grossed out about a lady. All right, here we go. Whee! Now, here goes my face. Watch.
D-D-Y-P. D-D-Y-P.
I'm going 1, 2, 3, 4. Here we go.
Run for BB. Run for BB.
Wait. Hold on.
Don't stop it, you jackball. Keep it going. All right, now, and...
Run for BB. Run for BB. Run for BB.
And again. That is the facial. And see how she's dancing like she's got something wedged? I'm sorry, Joanna, darling, but you really, if you don't know how to dance and all you know how to do is act as if you're dementia-ridden, that's what it's going to look like.
Well, I hear a little jealousy going on, Margaret.
Wait just a minute. Say that again.
I hear a little bit of jealousy going on.
Jealousy?
Yeah, jealousy. Oh, look at her. Ha, ha, ha. She's got dementia going on. And there you are with the facial. Nobody understands what you're saying.
Got a lot of people calling in saying, what was you saying?
What was I saying? I was saying 1, 2, 3, 4 and 1, 2, 3, 4. What's the secret?
Well, Margaret, it's coming out like this.
Oh, you're high on narcotics. No, it did not.
I could play it back for you.
No, wait, you're letting the tape go. Stop the tape. This is the part. This is called the hot. Well, I guess you won't. This is called hot on the face. What? You know you've got a filthy mind. Has anyone ever told you, Phil, that your mind marinates in sewage? Just before you go on the air, what do? Do you pull it out of a toilet tank?
Margaret, you know, a hot facial...
You know, your mind marinates in sewage. Grow up. Now, here we go. This isn't it, bud.
Yeah, it is.
No, it isn't. This is the same garbage. I mean, this is the same... Here we go. Would you get... All right, here we are. This is where...
Okay, now we're going to step up the pace a little bit with the Prancer-sized trot. It's really hot.
Oh, God, I told her to drop that part. Okay, see how she's acting as if... Now, you see how she's acting as if she can't control the muscles in her shoulders?
Well, she's doing a little bit of a trot.
She's not doing a little bit of a trot. She's acting as if she has a combination of muscular dystrophy and a sort of a spastic problem in the lower back. But anyway, here we go. Now that...
Turn it off.
What are you doing?
What is that?
That's step two of the facial.
You know, this lady here, this Joanna Rohrbach, comes up with this exercise, this Prancer-size, which you may think it looks goofy, but hey, the lady's gotten, how many, what, 5,500,000 hits. She's been on TV. She, you know, she's about to be reborn, it looks like. She's selling her books. She's selling her Prancer-size website deal, you know.
Listen to you. You sound like you're right out of Jersey. Selling a deal? You don't know what you're talking about, do you?
Yes, I do. And you're making fun of her, and you're talking about her face. What was that you just did?
That's the hot Prancer-size facial. You don't like the title, I'll change it.
Yeah, it sounds dirty. I'm ready to get called.
I'll handle it, bud, okay?
Boy, he's like your general manager or something. Somebody's over there just, yeah. What are you? Are you related to R.C. Collins?
Who?
R.C. Collins, are you related to him?
Who?
R.C. Collins, you ass.
R.C., are you related to him?
I'm not related to him. I don't know who he is.
Well, you sound like him.
All right, we're going to be back here with Margaret and the rest of this ridiculous thing, the Prancercise, in a moment here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And your phone calls, 877-876-PHIL. Be right back.
That's your face. And it could use some tightening.
Phil Henry. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, so what do we got, Margaret?
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I'm sorry. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Phil Henry Show. So you have Joanna Rohrbach's Prancercise. We've done two forms of the Margaret's talking about...
Let me do it. Hi, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Margaret Gray. And when we talk about Prancercise, my very dear friend Joanna is demonstrating on the video as she gallops and prances. If Joanna was here, by the way, she would say the following thing. She'd say, yes, I get it that I look silly. Enough already with your juvenile college-age frat brother jokes. Because guess what? I'm making more money than J.C. off the cross. She'd say that. I know her. And she'd say, so suck on that. I'm Joanna Rohrbach. That is what she'd say. Okay, Phil?
All right. So in other words, she's well aware of the jokes that are being made at her expense.
Absolutely. Now, if I said to her, Joanna, the one thing that we're missing with Prancercise is working out the face. The face, the face. I can't stress it enough. In life, what do you use more than your face? You know?
Yeah, you're not using your face to make it do anything.
Yes, you are, bud, you idiot. Yes, you are. Are you smiling? Yes. Are you frowning? Yes. Are you looking? Yes. Are you putting on a look for the world to see? Yes. Is your face exposed to the elements? Yes. What is the one part of your body that is always exposed to the elements? Never, ever, ever do you give it a break. It's your face. You've got your face stuck in the weather. You got it shoved right out there into traffic. And yes, in your personal life, and I'm not going to be graphic, Phil, but you're sticking your face in some places that are pretty...
Okay, we get the idea.
Excuse me, that are pretty funky. You understand what I'm saying? You get the idea. I'm not being graphic.
All right, you don't even have to bring that up.
When you... Oh, really? You know something, Phil? I'm going to tell you a story. I knew a young man in college by the name of Tom Matcham. Tom Matcham was a great guy. He might have suffocated. And that's all I'm going to say. You understand?
Okay. Did it involve you?
That's none of your business.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'd have to make that deduction, too.
None of your business.
He might have suffocated.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd say his face took a beating that night.
You know...
All right, so let's get to...
You're right, it did. All right, here we go with the Prancercise. I don't know what she's doing here, but let's get the face. I really want to stress... Here we go. And one, two, three, and go.
Guys, trot. It's really hot.
Whee! All right, now you see, she's dancing along. You see the dancing? You see the dance motion, Phil?
Yes, I do.
All right, now, what I'd like to do is see how she's moving her arm. She's swinging her hips. It's almost as if she could care less. Her husband's retired. She's making a lot of money. She's going to go home to deviled eggs. She's having the girls over for bridge. You know, come at me. You know, try and change me. I change you. You don't change me. That's the attitude here with the Prancercise face first. All right, here we go.
Blah, 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 blah.
Turn it off.
What?
Blah.
What are you talking about?
Turn it off, turn it off, turn it off. Turn this off, too. I've got, I don't know how many machines working here.
Why'd you turn it off?
I turned it off because I want to know what this bleh is.
That's not, I'm counting it. Is this guy stupid or something?
Listen, she's counting it down.
Yeah, what's with you?
Yeah, what's with you?
What do you mean, what's with me? Bleh, bleh?
That was one, two, three.
You don't understand one, two, three when you hear it.
Not really.
Just, I'll do it, thank you. Here we go. One, two, three, go. Go.
B-
I can tell you this. If Jimmy Matcham had this exercise on that fateful night at St. Mary's, we might not have needed EMTs. All right, here we are. They're cutting loose. Oh, God. This is Joanna at her best. She's cutting loose. She's doing what I call the free form. It's Prancercise with wings. It's Prancercise, but we're flying. And this is where we try to make the face get airborne. And I know it sounds ridiculous, Phil, but what we're trying desperately to...
What are you crying for?
I'm crying because a young man might have died because of me.
Why'd he almost suffocate?
Three guesses.
Well, isn't that more of a weight problem than...
How dare you... Okay. So here we go. One, two, three. I want to see. Now watch this as we're flying. Let your face go, ladies. Let your face go. Imagine that your face is not limited by your skull. In other words, your face is... It's free of the head. It's just it's teeth and a nose. Well, I don't know.
So, all right, my teeth and my nose are doing what?
Well, if they're not on your head, what do you think they're...
Are they flying?
Yes. Turn it off.
Yep, Ms. Graham.
Turn it the hell off. I give up. Where is the toilet paper, please?
Oh, come on, will you, Margaret?
No, I give up. If you're going to sit there and make these jokes, and you're going to sit there and go, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Look, when you say stupid stuff like, where do you think your face is if it isn't on your head?
And even now, Phil, you laugh and you smile and you stifle a guffaw, don't you?
Yes, I do. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? Where do you think your face is, Phil? All right, it's flying through the air. And we laughed. We laughed at the notion of our faces flying through the air. And you turn everything off and you got to go to the bathroom and have another bathroom break.
Well, why don't you have the guts to say it what it is? A bowel movement.
Okay, a bowel movement.
How dare you?
You asked... And by the way, I'm telling you, the budget for toilet paper around here is starting to get a little steep. I'm not kidding you. I mean, we're going three figures every month on toilet paper.
I hope you go to four figures. If I need it, I need it.
Well, go ahead. Go do your thing.
I don't take my direction from you.
Okay, so that's the Prancercise.
I'm not done. I'll be right back.
You don't go into the bathroom in the middle of it. 877-876-PHIL. Now, Dr. Jim Sadler is a weightlifter and a fitness guru. I wouldn't say a guru, although Dr. Sadler has done some weightlifting competition and so forth, joining us from San Diego. Dr. Sadler, very pleasant good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, Phil.
Are you familiar with Prancercise?
I'm not familiar with Prancercise. I had heard about it this weekend. And, of course, I went online to youtube.com, and I looked it up. And I saw this woman gallivanting down the lane. Now, I talked to my wife, Mandy. She's involved in a lot of the body sculpting and weightlifting that I'm involved in. And I said, what do you make of this? And she said, it looks pretty far out. And I said, well... I said, for the woman, she looks to be in her 60s, wearing a very thick coating of Revlon lipstick. The hair is a bouffant. The pants are sucked up. And then I said, if that ain't moose knuckle, then I'm, then my name is Jack Belain.
Can we not do that?
I'm sorry, but
the most of the commentary about this video that we have been hearing about this past few days has to do with the woman's tights are a little tight, and okay, so they are. I don't know that it's something that until recent times when there was a lot of commentary on it.
Well, I don't think it's ever been evident. I don't think that our mother's generation or our grandmother's generation walked around with a toe, and I think that it bears a statement that if my mother, your mother, walked around in the kitchen. Making us bologna sandwiches and jello, and to watch Sheriff John, and she's got, you know, toe, would you be able to keep it down? You know, I wouldn't have neither. So I think that it bears a statement. Now, as to the exercise itself.
What about this facial exercise that Margaret's doing?
Well, I was going to say that as ridiculous as Margaret has been in presenting it, I think there she's got a very good point. The face has something like 8 trillion, I don't know how, it's got a lot of muscles, 8,000, 8 trillion muscles. It has more muscles per square foot or per square, I don't know.
But per square inch.
The what?
Per square inch?
Yeah, per square inch. And you know, there's just a lot happening. And so when your face is neglected, and believe me when I tell you, here's a joke for you. Does your face hurt? Phil?
Yeah.
Does your face hurt?
No.
Well, it's killing me. well, you know, that's, you're supposed to laugh at that.
That's about the oldest joke I've ever heard.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That's the oldest joke. So in other words, the face is neglected.
Yeah, the face is neglected. And if you take one long look at a few of these people around here, you know what I mean. And my wife, what's that, honey? Yeah.
What'd she say?
She's talking about my, you know, something. How about your kisser? Why don't you take a look in the mirror? She's talking about my face.
I think that when we start talking about faces and we start critiquing each other's faces, we're going down a slippery slope, okay?
Yeah, okay. Whatever you say. Slippery slope. Talk about your double entendre. Boy, you really love to live dangerous, don't you? I got your slippery slope. You know?
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. Did you hear what he said, Robert? He said slippery slope, and you're talking about a face. And
okay, now I got to take a break because you jackasses are taking so long getting to the point. Dr. Jim Sadler, we're going to talk more about the benefits, health benefits of the Prancercise, including the new facial Prancercise, as introduced by Margaret Gray, who's in the bathroom right now using the toilet, but she'll be out momentarily. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Margaret Gray has joined us again. Dr. Jim Sadler is on the line, and we have also got Vernon Dozier of Belmar Academy to talk about this Prancercise. Let me just roll one more time the audio here so you can hear a little bit of the sound of this lady's voice, the music that is used, and the idea that there is a prancing motion. And Dan, would you lay that word on me one more time? It's not isometrics. It's prancermetric. What did you? Plyometrics. Plyometrics are a form of an isometric. If I remember my isometrics from school, it's when you're basically applying muscular tension, creating muscular tension, which in turn will bulk or create some bulk in the muscle groups. Now, this is toning, I would imagine, but let's listen now to Ms. Rohrbach here.
Hello, I'm Joanna Rohrbach of Prancercise LLC.
I got Vernon Dozier on the line
here. I'm here today to show you the four modes of Prancercise.
And Vernon, are you there?
My ankle weights
in
place.
I'm right here.
And my music.
And Dr. Sadler?
So let's stop talking.
Yeah, I want to listen to. Here we go. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Listen to this. Look. Right there. See? You see? You see what she's doing? The rear end? I can't see anything. Well, I'm following along at home. Aren't you following along at home?
What?
Hold on for a minute.
Yeah.
So, you see, Doctor, it's very infectious.
Yeah, no, it's very good. La-da-da-da. See, now she's moving it back and forth, back and forth. I like it when the motion is back and forth, up and down. Yeah. Yeah, look at that, huh? Yeah.
Dr. Sadler.
I'm sorry. Okay. See that? And she's tensing right up there, and yeah, that's where you got to do it. And I have to tell you, kill the music for a minute, will you? Kill it. Please, God, thank you. I have to tell you, Mr. Hendry, that what has been referred to on this program and on another program is what you would call camel toe or camel
you know, the camel toe is actually a part of the exercising, which creates that sort of look, you know.
Phil, this is Vernon Dozier. Can I just ask you something?
Go ahead.
I want to ask the doctor, because I've been involved in physical fitness for quite some time. One of the things that I do, obviously, is not only as I'm a coach, but I'm also an individual who is going to involve the students, young athletes, in exercise. Now, what is it about prancercise that makes this woman's tights suck right up in there?
Well, I don't think you're being quite fair when you say suck right up in there. I think you're making it sound like she's doing it on purpose.
Well, I suspect that she is.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not kidding.
Excuse me. This is Margaret Gray, Mr. Dozier. What are you saying? This woman's a very dear friend of mine.
I'm saying that she began the video by double-checking a crotch-high mirror. I know this is going to sound shocking.
Wait a minute. What are you saying?
That's what I'd like to know. This is unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Let me just say this to you, okay?
A crotch-high mirror?
Yeah, hold on. Now, I happen to know that this production crew has as a member of their team, he's a cable puller. He's also was a short time one of their sound guys, Bill Fletcher and Bill Rendille. You know, both of these guys are members of the crew. Now, both of them are little people. All right, Bill himself is only about 3'7". This guy has been used time and again with this roarback to walk up and hold that mirror.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you.
Oh, yeah, right. So you're trying to tell me that they hired a midget?
Hey, watch that midget stuff. This guy's a dear friend of mine, okay? Now, he told me that...
Wait, this guy, you heard this firsthand from this guy.
You better believe it. Bill says to me that he walks over and I said, just go ahead and hold it about level with your face.
Well, see, I can hear him going, wait a minute, how did I get on the microphone?
Yeah, you're supposed to be on the phone.
I'm sorry. I can hear him,
Well, if he gets to do that, I get to do that. Get back on the phone, both of you.
Sorry.
I don't understand. I'm a dog and a guest, and where are you anyway?
It's my league night. I'm bowling. You got a problem with that? You got a problem with that, too? You got a problem with midgets? You got a problem with bowling? You hate everything American.
Oh, sure. Here I am trying to build up the prancercise.
Prancercise ain't American, okay? It has not yet established itself as anything even close to being American. It looks Eastern European to me. It looks like the dance of the vampire. I hate it, and I hate you.
Well, he hung up.
What a child. And Vernon, if you're listening, it proves what a child you are, and you lose the debate.
I don't know that it was a debate, Margaret.
Well, it sounds like it was a debate to me, and I think he loses by virtue of him hanging up.
All right, well, he says he knows a member of the crew that was a little person that held the mirror face high.
What mirror?
He's claiming that the mirror was held face high so she could get that, get the toe.
Wait, what are you trying to tell me, that it was on purpose before they even rolled the cameras, that she decided to pull the tights up real tight? Why?
Obviously to prove that this prancercise is something that it enables and empowers muscles as yet even undiscussed, or as yet discussed. It empowers a muscle group in a woman. By God, you better genuflect and thank God Almighty that you're able to even discuss it. That's what I think.
All right, do we have to be that dramatic?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. As a woman... And I think if every woman out there thanks God himself that finally, finally, we have an exercise that enables us to point at it and say, guys, take a look. Huh?
Well, I don't know any women that would do that.
Oh, you don't? Well, I'm sorry, Mary Jane. Ooh!
Making fun of you.
Well, if you want to talk disrespectfully...
Phil, don't be such a sissy.
I don't think it's being a sissy.
Why don't you stuff a sock in it, doctor? You and that tongue, that speech impediment, because you tried to French kiss a jaguar, Unbelievable.
The car?
No, the cat.
I was not a Jaguar, I was a cheetah, okay?
I don't care what he was doing with your wife. What about that?
But, what, you're doing shtick now?
Yes.
All right, thanks a lot, Margaret.
Well, Phil...
Never mind. Thank you very much. Thank you, Dr. Sadler, and thank you, Joanna Rohrbach, for your very fine Prancercise video. And, Vernon, sorry you had to hang up again, because you weren't getting the respect you were due. I think she's probably going to go on and make a lot of money on this video. I don't think Margaret's facial Prancercise is going to take off at all. In fact, I think it's going to put back on, or whatever you want to call it. And I also think Dr. Sadler should just go ahead and stick to doing psychiatry or veterinary medicine or whatever it is and leave the shtick to those that shtick. Oh, and by the way, Margaret, we're very happy to hear about your college chum. He survived the suffocation.
Yes, and don't go giggling about it. You know.
Well, either he survived... So what if he had facial exercises? How's that going to take any weight off of your... Well, I shouldn't have said.
How did...
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Oh, man, you let the cat out.
Phil Henry.
Here, the world famous Phil Henry Show, and every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And we've got truth as our bitch on this show, wherever we can find it, however we can get to it, and like that. Now, thank you very much for the Prancercise. That was a real, that was a thrill and a half, I'll tell you. Very goofy, very weird, very scary, but nonetheless, a part of the American zeitgeist these here days. Our website is philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. At that website, you get a backstage pass. What is that? It's a subscription to our website. For 1 month, it's $9.99. You have access to 5,000 hours of audio. You have access to live streaming video of our show each and every night. And by the way, we're going to have some big video cast news coming up. Not going to tell you about it now, but there will be. It's going to be huge. But you do have access to our video cast. You have access to our webisode. You have access to the Milwaukee Lion broadcasts during the regular season, the football season of Dickman America with Jack I. Gagner and Brett Morrison, as well as the archives of those broadcasts. You have access to our video archive. You have access to just a plethora of miscellany, television pilots, radio interviews, TV interviews. It's a media repository unlike any other in the world. The largest collection of audio of any single radio show anywhere in the world. No one disputes that. No one has come forward to say, you're wrong, Mr. Henry. We have one that's bigger. And, okay, why don't you go ahead and pull it out and whip it on the bar. And
I beg your pardon.
Excuse me. But in any event, it's over there at philhenryshow.com. So get yourself that backstage pass before you live to regret it for the rest of your days. All right. Now, Michael Douglas, over the last 24 hours, the actor, has said that he apparently had gotten some form of oral or throat cancer from oral sex. This was the statement that he made, and he's sticking by it. And a lot of people, when he came out and said that, naturally because he's an actor, everyone thought, well, he must be some kind of a jive ass. Ha, 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 yeah, sure. And I guess you just think you're all that, huh? Because essentially what he was saying was, yeah, I got throat cancer and I got mouth cancer or whatever the cancer was that he had because I got a virus that is obtainable only through, or I should say, you only get the virus or are infected by the virus through oral sex, meaning he, the man, performing oral sex on, you know.
Well, on his wife.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Well, are you saying he was cheating on his wife?
Maybe with a guy.
Will you get out of here, bud?
Yeah, well, how do you know?
I don't... Are you saying that Michael Douglas got oral... He was giving... Are you saying he's gay?
I'm not saying he's gay or nothing. He's just saying he got oral sex.
I think we can go ahead and take his word for it, okay? And the fact is that it has been transmitted from woman to man that way. I mean, oftentimes we think of infection by way of oral sex being transmitted man to woman, but in this instance, and in other instances, so I'm told, men have been infected or have gotten this virus by way of oral sex after performing it, you know, them being the active party in that particular act of love making. So it got a lot of people talking, and it got a lot, like I said, it got a lot of smirks and a lot of people just, yeah, sure. But it turns out it's very true. And
now you have some of the statistics, Phil, correct?
Well, I don't have the statistics firsthand, but I can tell you, first of all, let's be very clear what we're talking about. It's called the HPV virus. And this is the virus that is, what the hell is that, man? It's like a herpes virus, or it's like a herpes simplex, I believe. And it can reside or be transmitted, and it infects or otherwise, you know, affects the throat, the mouth, and eventually, in some instances, not in all, and not even in a majority of them, but in some instances, it turns into a form of cancer. And of course, that's quite frightening. I don't think there's anything more frightening, especially a guy like me, in doing what I do for a living, or maybe even a Michael Douglas, getting oral cancer.
Eddie Van Halen had oral cancer, too.
Eddie Van Halen, I believe, had cancer of the tongue.
Yes, and I don't think that what you did on your show was tasteful at all. It made me sick.
Oh, take it easy, will you?
What'd you do?
Well, we made pretended like Eddie Van Halen was on the show and he only had half a tongue.
I think that's absolutely sick. This is what he was doing. He's going, why, you little...
Hey, take it easy, Mark. What are you, a friend of the family?
I just don't think it's right. I don't like the things. I don't like it when it laughs.
Take it easy. HPV causes a growing number of oral cancers, according to this article. Yes, it does. HPV causes a growing number. It replaces tobacco as the oral cancer cause of the moment, shall we say. Health officials say the sexually transmitted human papillomavirus, a known cause of cervical cancer, has surpassed smoking and alcohol use to become the leading cause of head and neck cancers in the U.S., particularly among men. Differences in oral cancer by cause. There's tumors, so on and so forth. There's a big article here. An interview in The Guardian with Michael Douglas raised questions about HPV, and here are some answers. Michael Douglas discussed his battle with throat cancer in an interview with The Guardian newspaper, in which doctors raised the point that some throat cancers can be caused by a sexually transmitted virus, HPV, related to the cervical cancer. So, meaning the woman is carrying this virus, which can cause cervical cancer in women, and then by way of oral sex, it's transmitted to the man. And, wow, man, who would ever thought that we would reach a point in our understanding of cancer that we would more and more be thinking of it in terms of viruses?
Yeah, it's when the one time I said a guy come down with cancer, you were laughing.
Well, you don't say that a guy comes down with cancer.
What, you call up like 911?
Why would you call up 911 if you got cancer?
You came down with it.
What are they going to do?
Send out an ambulance.
Send out an ambulance, huh? Because it's life and death?
Yeah, I think so. If you got to have a cancer.
It's not life and death to the point where you must get an ambulance right away. You can wait.
Well, I wouldn't want to chance it.
Oh, get out of here, chance it. What are you going to chance, man? Uh-oh, I came down with cancer. Get an ambulance. I better get to the hospital so they can get me in chemo and get me in radiation because, you know, we don't have any time to lose. No, my friend. It doesn't work like that, okay? You only get an ambulance if you got, like, a heart attack or something like that.
Well, I don't understand the difference, man.
You're not going to die right away from cancer.
Yeah, but you do agree you're going to come down with it.
So you come down with it. So what? It doesn't mean you get an ambulance. USA Today asked cancer experts to explain HPV's role in oral cancer and other diseases. What causes oral cancers? Those of the tongue, tonsils, and the back of the throat. Well, comes the answer. Both smoking and HPV, the human papillomavirus Papillomavirus.
That sounds like a place you go for vacation, doesn't it?
Papillomavirus?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Papilloma.
Okay, fine. Papilloma does. When you add virus to it, that doesn't sound like any vacation spot that I want to go to.
I've been to a place in Mexico called that, though.
There's no place in Mexico called Papillomavirus.
What about Papilloma?
Okay, yes, there is.
Fine.
Great. You win. Wow.
Well, Phil, don't dig your heels in on ridiculous things.
I'm digging my heels in. All right, so anyway, Douglas, age 68, had previously blamed his cancer, detected at stage 4, the most advanced kind, on years of smoking and drinking. And while tobacco has long been a leading cause of head and neck cancers, HPV now causes far more cases, says Lori Wirth, director of head and neck oncology at Massachusetts General Hospital. Now, what's the story here, Robert?
Well, it sounded to me like Michael Douglas originally said, yeah, I smoked, I drank, but now I found out about a virus that you get on oral sex. Yeah, that's how I got it.
Yes, it does sound like he's backtracked a little bit.
And why would you say that?
On account he makes him look like a stud there. Yeah, hey, I don't want to say nothing, but yeah, you know.
Yeah?
Well...
Yeah, look, I don't want to jump in here too quick, but I think my oral cancer was probably... It sounds like something Chris Norton would say.
Well, get me on the phone.
Do I want you to get you on the phone?
Get him on the phone.
You want us to get him on the phone?
Who, Norton? No, I don't want to talk to him about this. He doesn't know a damn thing about this stuff. Not a damn thing. Who else could we talk to about this?
Well, I don't know, Phil. Steve Bozell.
Steve Bozell? You want to get him on the line?
Yeah.
Why would Steve Bozell know?
I think because of his, I think he'd be a good man to talk to because he's a family man. He's not going to be lording it over anyone.
Well, all right. So how fast are HPV-related cancers growing? The proportion of HPV-related oral tumors has grown from 16%.
Get him on the line now.
Will you take it easy, bud? I'm still talking. 16% to, wait a minute. Am I reading that right? 72%? Wow. All oral cancer 1984 to 1989 to 72%. Wow. Is that just because it's more? Well, I better not say. Stephen Bozell is joining us. Where are you at right now, Steve?
Right now, Phil, I'm at a builder's convention here at the L.A. Convention Center right now. Just looking at building materials, dry rock, things like that.
We saw this article about the HPV virus causing oral cancer in men. And Margaret was telling us that you might be somebody to talk to about this.
Well, I mean, I had read about it, and I had immediately checked myself into the City of Hope, which is over here in the Monrovia area, because I felt that I wanted to get clear on this right away. There might have been a run on it. They might have had more guys checking in the City of Hope, but as soon as I heard that HPV was transmitted from the lady to the man and could give you cancer of your neck, your throat, and every part of, you know, everything about that. So I went and checked myself in the City of Hope, and I said, I want a private room. I want a bed. I want the best medical care money can buy. And
now, why were you panicking?
Well, sir, I wasn't panicking.
Well, Steve, it sounded like you were panicking when you said you want the best medical care money can buy.
All right, but I mean, I was basically saying I want to get this cleared up right now. I want to know, is that going to give me cancer? Because I had reluctantly, and I shouldn't say reluctantly, but I had, you know, involved myself in that kind of sexual activity with my wife because I wanted to give her the very best that, you know, that I had to give. And, I felt that, you know, April was, there was a period in our marriage where I felt that maybe she was getting disinterested in me. So I went ahead and went for it. And I went whole hog and I was all in, you know. And
okay, all right. You committed yourself sexually?
Yeah, I committed myself sexually and everything to it. And I said, you know, whatever there is to do, man, I'm there. And, boy, when your woman looks at you and she gets that half smile on her face and tells you to shut the door behind you, and you're like, dear God, I hope I'm man enough to do it.
You hope you're man enough? What did you say?
I hope I'm man enough to do it. And so, you know, it was a good 3-4 days before we come out of there.
Where were you?
Where, well, should I say? Or...
Yeah, where were you?
This was a wedding anniversary, right, Steve?
Yeah, it was our 15th wedding anniversary up at the Madonna Inn in San Luis Obispo.
The Madonna Inn, okay.
Yeah. And we were in, probably didn't leave the room 3-4 days. And I was all in, you know, I just, and they had said to me, give an example, which is embarrassing to me.
Hold on, I got a break, and we'll be back for the story, okay?
Say that again?
I have to break, we'll be back for your story.
Yeah, well, it has to do with me mumbling something.
That's fine. Let's take a break here, and we'll be back. Stephen Bozell, as we talk about HPV, this virus related to oral tumors causing mouth and neck and throat cancer. Michael Douglas claims he had it and got it by performing oral sex. Let's find out more about it here from Stephen Bozell, who had a full weekend of it at the Madonna Inn in San Luis Obispo. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth
this was their wedding
is our bitch.
I want people to know that.
The Phil
yes.
Hendry okay. Show.
They were married people. I want everyone to know they're married people. No laughing.
Yes, ma'am.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
It is the Phil Hendry Show, speaking with Stephen Bozell here from the Builders Convention at the L.A. Convention Center as we talk about this HPV virus. And I've got to get this pronounced properly here. Margaret, can you give me a hand with this?
Yes, it is this is the human palamalababa. Well, hold on, I'll get it. It's HPV, you don't need to pronounce it, Phil, do you?
I think so.
HPV is the human palamalababa.
Here, let me do it. It's transmitted by way of the mouth. Okay, that's right away.
We know that.
And
never mind. HPV virus is fine. And so, Steve, you learned of the HPV virus while you were celebrating your 15th wedding anniversary with April, your wife, right?
Yes, sir. That's correct. And we're at the Madonna Inn, and I had told her. And I had the article, and I said, and this was back, say, in the, you know, the spring of 2000, you know, 2000, I'm a little bit nervous. It was the spring of 2012, how do you say it, 20, do you say 2000 or you say 20?
Either way.
Okay, it was 2009?
Yeah, 2009.
Or 2009.
All right, so this was your 15th wedding anniversary.
No, that wasn't, that was like our 11th.
Okay, that was your 11th wedding anniversary in 2009.
Yes, sir, and I found out about the HPV virus. Well, it just so happens that on that weekend, it was my 11th wedding anniversary with my wife, and she said to me that, you know, you're all in. I said, yeah, and she said, okay, and she packed she had a cooler full of sandwiches and drinks. She had made chicken salad. She'd made liverwurst. She made every kind of, and I said, how come you're doing that? We're going to be at the hotel. She said, I don't want any interruptions. And so I knew then, you know, that it was going to be 3 days of having, I mean.
Well, go ahead, Steve. Tell Phil. He told me before the interview, Phil.
What, Steve?
Well, it was going to be 3 days of me with my face, you know.
Okay, 3 days of, all right.
Yes, sir, because when I saw the cooler with sandwiches.
So April packed a cooler full of sandwiches and drinks.
Yes, ma'am, and I said, well, aren't we going to have room service, or aren't we going to? She said, no way. I don't want any interruptions, and I don't want you taking time out to go to the phone, and I don't want you, and we're not going no places. She said, for free solid, they said, everything you're going to need to eat, you get right there. And I said, she said, you go ahead, you can reach over and grab a sandwich while we're, you know.
God, man, your wife was.
Yeah, I was trying to say. So.
Well, did this scare you? You sound frightened.
Well, it scared me because only hours before, as we were driving up to San Luis Obispo, I had just gotten done reading an article about how HPV was running rampant. And it was going from you-know-what into a guy's mouth, lickety-split. And I said that to my wife, and she said, oh, you're trying to be funny.
What did you say to her?
I said, HPV is getting transmitted lickety-split. And she's like, you know, you're lower than whale dung. And
well, she didn't know you were making a joke.
No, ma'am, she didn't. And I was, but I also said.
All right, so you had just read this article about HPV is spreading like wildfire, let's say.
Yes, sir.
And then you're in the car, you're on your way up to the Madonna Inn for your 11th wedding anniversary. And what you were looking down, you felt you were looking down the barrel of a gun.
Yeah, that's exactly correct, Mr. Henry. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, I don't think that that's quite an enlightened view, Steve.
Well, why do you say that?
Well, first of all, I think because you're there, you're making love to your wife. It's a beautiful weekend. No man who's looking forward to a wedding anniversary with his wife should feel he's looking down the barrel of a gun.
I can tell you, Ms. Gray, and this is the God's honest truth, I had not felt like that since April and I had taken a cruise 2 years before. And I'll say this to you right now, Mr. Henry, to your audience. I talked to Cliff Pettigrew, and I said, have you got, because I was under a lot of pressure, and I said, have you got any, Viagra?
Yeah, Viagra.
Yes, sir. And he said, I do. And I said, hey, man, yeah. I said, you got to lay it on me. I said, I'm telling you right now, you better lay some on me right now. And
well, let me interrupt you here. You sound nervous.
Yes, he sounds very panicked.
You sound panicked. You sound nervous. What's going on?
I'm frightened that my daughter may be listening in. Erica Dorton has been on the warpath over there at CK Corona.
No, you're talking about your daughter's middle school and the teachers over there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, don't worry about it. Okay. Let's just get through this. All right. So what about this Viagra?
Well, yeah, I asked Cliff Pettigrew if I could get, if I could cop some Viagra from him. He said, sure enough, who's your daddy and all that. Anyway, I took this Viagra on a cruise to the Caribbean, and you'd think that there'd be no more romantic thing than a...
Hold on, Steve. Gonna take a break.
Oh, come on, will you, man?
I'm sorry,
Well, we need to get... He's very nervous.
Yeah. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, Stephen Bozell talking to us about... about almost contracting this HPV virus himself and some of the stories leading up to that. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and join us online at our website for our live-streaming videocast of the show, as well as our podcast tomorrow. If you miss our show tonight, the audio, you can pick it up as a podcast tomorrow with your backstage pass automatically loaded to your device. We also have a classic podcast. We owe you guys a couple of classic podcasts from this week, and so we'll have two classic podcasts delivered to you tomorrow. Two, baby. From our website, and let's see, what else? Just a bunch of stuff. Right now we have Stephen Bozell on the line with us from Corona, California, as we continue talking to him from the L.A. Builders Convention about this HPV virus, which you were in fear of contracting as the result of 3 days of a wedding anniversary at the Madonna Inn, Steve. Now, I want to continue with this discussion. So you were telling us a little bit about a vacation you took prior to that to the Caribbean, and you used Viagra.
Yeah, I'd gone to the Caribbean. I asked Cliff Pettigrew, who was a member of my crew, I'm going to need some Viagra, and I'm going to need some, because I'm going on a cruise, and I don't think that there's too many men out there who are, don't know what I mean when I say to them, when your wife books a cruise for you. My friend, you better get Viagra, whatever you need, you better get it. And I'll tell you right now. So I wasn't taking any chances. And because you're on a boat, and a boat is I'm not telling you any secrets when I tell you that a boat has not got no land. It's on the water, so there's no land for you to get off and go, and you'll be on land, and you can go places on land in way far away. But not if you're on a boat. If you're on a boat and you need to get out of there, there's no way. And if your wife comes looking for you, you could be in the ESPN bar. A lot of these cruise ships now have the sports bars. And you're up there, and all you're trying to do is get a beer and maybe get a second wind. And here comes your old lady once again. It ain't been 5 minutes, and she's bringing you back to the cabin. So,
what is this with you, man? Your wife, it's like you are it's like you're a slave or something.
Well, like I said, you can ask any man you want. I don't know if you've been on too many cruises,
Yeah, I've been on a few.
I will.
So anyway, you had this Viagra and it didn't work.
Yeah, I took the Viagra because I knew I was sitting in the ESPN bar and the bartender there was a guy named Rudy, and I said, "Top me off," and he topped me off on and I looked, saw my wife coming down the gangway, and I said, "Oh man." So I went ahead and I popped two more Viagra, and I head on back to the cabin, and it didn't work. It was almost like it was almost like reverse. In other words, it went back up into my body. I mean, I can't explain it.
What do you mean it went back up into your body?
Well, I can't explain it, but it just seemed to it was. And I asked the doctor. I said, "Does Viagra, is it supposed to shrink you?" And he goes, "No." And I get. And I got panicked, and I started to hyperventilate. They said, "What's wrong?" I said, "It's shrunk it up." And so, in any event...
All right, let's get off that kick. My understanding is Viagra doesn't work unless you're aroused. Let's get off that. So.
Oh, so you were not aroused for your wife?
I don't want to say, because April may be listening, and in fact, I know she is, because she always listens when I'm on. And, honey, I was very aroused. Boy,
all right, let's move on. So now it's your wedding anniversary. You're at the Madonna Inn. Your wife has packed a cooler full of sandwiches so you can't go anywhere.
That's right.
And now I've got on the line here, is this Darren Sherbert, right?
Yeah, Mr. Sherbert.
Darren Sherbert, who works at, did work there at the, not at the Madonna Inn, but Mr. Sherbert was worked at a restaurant where they made a delivery. Is that correct? Mr. Sherbert, how are you tonight?
Very good.
Now, when you talked to Mr. Bozell, what did he say?
Well, that was it. I didn't understand anything he said because I had knocked on the door, and Mr. Bozell had said something that was I couldn't understand him. And I said, "Well, I had the anniversary cake."
Yes, sir. I knew you had an anniversary cake, and I tried to tell you to hold on. I'll be there in a minute.
Right, but I couldn't understand him. And I stood there with the cake until I finally had contacted the front desk at the hotel and said, "I believe the man is having a problem."
And see, that's where that was none of your business.
When you say it's none of my business, I heard...
What did you hear, sir?
I'm listening to a man that, as if he was gagged.
And I told you I had not been gagged, but he wouldn't listen to me.
Well, and then the hotel opened the door. And that's when, unfortunately, we did see him. Or we saw part of him, and I said, "Are you all right, sir?" And all I heard,
All right, so what was happening? Are you telling me that you're...
Well, three guesses, Phil.
Yes.
Thank you very much, sir. Mr. Sherbert?
Yes.
Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it. All right, so, Steve, apparently...
Yeah, would you get it now? And so... So... We didn't get the wedding cake. They had to break down the door. The wedding cake, it's all, or the anniversary cake, it's all. And I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to say, "Bring it in." But I was, so I said to my wife, I said, "Well, you got to let me up for some air so I can," and
she wouldn't let you.
That is asinine. I don't believe the story.
You don't believe the story. You can ask my wife.
So, in other words, you weren't even able to be heard. You could not be understood because of the other activity you're involved in.
That's exactly right. I'm sitting there, for all the world, a healthy, grown man, and I sounded like I have had... I sounded as if I'd had my jaw broken or my jaw dislocated. I was... like that. And I said, my eyes... I just looked up at April, and I just tried to bulge my eyes out to show how frightened and how scared I was. I was just like, "Please, my eyes are open..." But I couldn't say nothing. I was just going, like that. And
you know what? The two of you sound, excuse me for saying this, you sound like a couple of idiots. You know that?
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, why didn't she? I don't understand why she wouldn't. Well.
Yeah, thank you.
So finally, because they couldn't understand what you were saying, they finally got the door open and they were able to deliver this cake, but it fell and it broke, and that was the end of that.
Yeah, that was the end of that. So, and this is all, and I said to my wife, "I'm scared to death of this HPV virus." And she said, "Okay, just because you said that, now you're doing double duty." And she's all, "Ha, ha, ha." So you got to understand, Mr. Henry, to you and to your listeners, it's all a big...
Well, I think that's childish.
Well, yeah, but to you it's a big joke.
Will you try to get me to believe that your wife gets you up to the Madonna Inn for a three-day wedding anniversary vacation? You got your face buried in it for 3 days. She won't even let you get up enough air to say, hey, yeah, come on in and put the cake anywhere. And that's what you're trying to tell me.
That's not what I'm trying to tell you. That's what I am telling you. That's not what I'm. That's not what I am telling. That's not what I am telling you. That's what I'm. That's what you. That's what it is. That it is being told to. That's not what it is told. That's.
I get it, man. You're telling me the truth.
Thank you.
All right. I would love it if I one of these days I'm going to talk to your wife and find out what went on.
You can go right ahead if you want.
Now, there's one other thing. You were afraid of Erica Dorton calling in. Is that correct?
No, I was just talking about my daughter, and I didn't want her going off to the school and reporting this. And we took the phone call here during the commercial break. I'll play back the tape, Jerry. You hear that, Phil?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's all there was.
Did that come into your home?
Yeah, it came into my home about 15 minutes ago.
I heard crickets. I didn't hear breathing.
Yeah, that's Dorton. That has Dorton written all over it.
I thought she breathes into the phone.
She breathes into the phone. She go ahead and play it again, Jerry. My wife answered the phone. Yeah, April answered the phone, and then it ended there.
And why do you suppose Dorton is calling in now?
Well, she's calling in now because I'm talking about having my face buried.
Well,
you can laugh if you want. You okay? All right, sure.
Well, what are you bawling for, man? I mean, here is the thing. You've got a daughter that goes to this... Is that...
Yeah, that's the tape. Okay, turn it off. Turn it off. Turn it off. It creeps me out. God, it scares me so.
I'm going to tell you right now, as I said, your daughter's running your life, and you've heard people say that. This school, this Erica Dorton, who's either breathing into the phone or now she's running crickets through it, whatever that means.
Well, it's a recording.
Yeah, I know it's a recording. Okay, because she doesn't like you talking about the HPV virus that you were afraid you got when you took your wife. By the way, did you ever get it?
Get what?
This HPV virus.
No, I didn't, thank God. No, I did not. And it's only by the grace of God that I didn't, because I spent 3 days with my face shoved. I mean, it was shoved. There was no way. And all I can say to... Yeah, you hear that? Those are two extra calls that come in here over the last few minutes from Dorton.
All right, well, I will say that you probably have something to deal with there in terms of the school butting into your personal life, Steve. Thank you very much for your report on the HPV virus. We're very happy to know that you didn't get it. And so, and my understanding is, by way of the medical research that we've seen, it's less than 30% chance that HPV is that the HPV virus, or that I should say throat cancer or oral cancer, less than 30% caused by this virus transmitted sexually.
Well, I hope you're right. I've spent a great many nights reading up on it. I've spent a great many nights praying. And I've spent a great many nights just doing, you know, just the only way I could communicate was with my eyes. Just looking at my wife and pleading with my eyes, please.
With your eyes?
Yeah.
Because his...
Oh, okay. All right. Well, yeah, I understand.
Yeah, okay.
Steve, thank you very much for joining us from the convention tonight.
Thank you.
Stephen Bozell.
That sounds dead, guys. He's PW.
It doesn't matter if he's PW or not. He is a hypochondriac. He thinks he's going to get this cancer and that ridiculous description of the weekend he spent with his wife.
Well, he's trying to say that he barely was able to get his face free, and in fact, she had a cooler full of sandwiches.
Well, I can understand that. Some women don't want their men to be distracted, but still.
Yeah. We're going to take a break, folks. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch.
Yeah.
The Phil Hendry Show.
A cooler full of sandwiches so he doesn't get distracted. I've got... Welcome back, yeah. So we're all done with this?
We're all done with Michael Douglas.
Yeah, we're all done with talking about Michael Douglas and whether he not, you know, where he got his throat cancer, I don't know. But it's less than 30%, so it's probably it's probably the case that he got it from smoking and drinking. But somebody said to him, hey, you know, you might have gotten it from oral sex, and that sounds a lot better than smoking and drinking. So I think he just took it upon himself.
Well, you don't. Maybe the doctor was able to do the biopsy.
See, yeah, there is a way of biopsying the tumor and finding out if, in point of fact, it was the HPV virus. And maybe they did. I don't know. Maybe they did that with Michael Douglas. I have no idea. All right, welcome back here, folks. The world famous Phil Henry Show, and we are going to be rolling out a mobile version of our website very, very soon. As a matter of fact, we did a beta test with some of our Backstage Pass subscribers. We had them review and take a look, I should say, at our new mobile site. And they're going to give us their determinations here very, very shortly. We will probably have a report on it on our website. And based upon their recommendations, based upon the things that they see, that they like, that they don't like, we will implement these things in the new design of our mobile site. But we're very excited about having the mobile site because we've had people requesting it for a long time. A good mobile site is fun to use and makes navigating a site very easy. It is not good if it eliminates things that you were able to access with the full site. I'll give you an example of that. Back during the Casey Anthony trial, I was able to, and I was using Channel 9 Orlando. I was going to their website so that I could see that day's videotape of the trial.
Right.
Because I had an iPhone, at some point, Channel 9's website or what have you, because at some point, it directed me over to their mobile site. I even went so far as to try to get onto the desktop site, to get on the full site, and I wasn't able to do it. And so I'm on their mobile site. Well, guess what they didn't have on their mobile site? They didn't have their media. It's a television station. So you'd think that they would make available on their mobile site their media, their videotape reports, the trial, the whole thing. No, they rolled out the mobile site too quickly. They've got all of this verbiage. They have all of these articles that they've published, but there's no none of the media available that I wanted. And so there I was stuck with their mobile site, and they lost me, man, to the extent that it matters to Channel 9 Orlando. It probably doesn't, but, you know, here was a guy out here in California that was going to their website every day and looking at the...
Well, what were you looking at?
Looking at a Casey Anthony.
Don't yell at me.
Oh, take it easy. Yeah, I was looking at the Casey Anthony trial.
You're looking at the Casey Anthony trial. Wasn't there some other place you could get it?
Yeah, there was eventually. I found another place, but it wasn't Channel 9. What I'm telling you is they rolled out there halfway through this trial as I was using their site to look at the Casey Anthony videotape at the end of each day because I'm not watching it during the day. I'm sleeping half the freaking day because I'm working late. Halfway through the trial, they suddenly launched their mobile site, which I was getting on my phone, and I wasn't getting any of their media. So I don't believe that it's a good time to launch a mobile site when the things that people go to your website for, and if you're a television station, excuse me, call me crazy, but I think that maybe some of the stuff people go to your website for could possibly be stuff that you can see like a videotape. Anyway, so that was the end of that. So I did not want, and I do not want, our mobile site launched unless everything that people go to our site for is available. And it is. It is. I double-checked it myself. We were out in Burbank last week, and I was actually accessing it mobile through my phone, and we were in the middle of a meeting. I said, oh, look at this, man. Here's our new mobile site. I checked it out. It looks really good. I was able to get on and look at the video. I was able to get on there and look at and listen to audio. It's a beautiful thing. And then we also had our listeners, our Backstage Pass subscribers, they, too, were able to look at it. So we're very proud of it. I think it does what it's supposed to do. It's easy to navigate by way of a mobile phone.
What about you're talking about making on an iPad?
What?
What are you talking about?
You're saying that ABC, theirs is good.
Oh, ABC, from what I understand, ABC for use on the iPad, for use on the tablet, ABC has a mobile site that you literally page through as if you're reading a book. It goes from right to left. And that's like state of the art, man. And that's for an iPad. And that's what you're talking about when you're talking about a good mobile site, something that you can use on the device that you're using it on that is easy to navigate and takes you to the places you want to go to. And you're not having to, you know, look at little tiny links that are about, you know, the size of a gnat's ass and you can't see it and that and everything else, you know.
And what about the fact that you have subscribers?
Well, there still is a login, but the login at least is big and it's usable and it's friendly. There it is. It's like bang right there in front of your face. You log in easily. And there you go. And, of course, you can easily hold on to your password. So check it out, folks, as we get closer and closer to the launch of the mobile site. We'll let you know, and then you tell us what you think. Jennifer Love Hewitt is about to add mommy to her resume. The client list starlet, age 34, is expecting a child with co-star and real-life beau Brian Hallisey. Her rep confirms to People. This is a wonderful time. We're looking forward to starting our family together, a statement reads. The baby also said, I'm very, very happy to be being born. And Jennifer Love Hewitt, are you kidding me? She's going to be my mom. I'm very, very excited, said the baby in the... I'm nuts.
No, don't do that unless it's actually in there.
Don't go grabbing it from me.
Yeah, we don't know if you tell the truth or not.
If you want to know if I'm telling the truth, just ask. Don't grab the copy from me.
Well, are you telling the truth?
Let's see. The baby was quoted from the womb?
Okay.
Well...
Do you think the baby was quoted in the womb, bud?
In the what?
In the womb.
You think they got a comment from the baby? Well, what do you mean?
Did they get a comment from the baby before it was born?
What a blockhead.
No, I guess not.
Hey, here you go. That's it. No, they didn't. So, was Phil kidding? I think so.
Little bit.
Yeah. In addition to her acting, the mom-to-be has also been a strong supporter of embracing a woman's body, curves and all, after unflattering photos of the actress on the beach surfaced in December 2007. She was not pregnant at the time, but had been through a couple of boxes of Crullers and had also gone... No, it's... I'm kidding!
No, we don't know.
Well, they're not saying. Was she pregnant in December 2007?
Who are you talking about?
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
I don't know. I don't keep track.
Because they said that pictures surfaced of her on the beach, 2007, and she had an ass on her, 15 axe handles across.
Really?
No. Anyway.
Why don't you just say what's there, Phil? Because people think it's real.
Because I'm having some fun. Love what you look like right now. Remember I said it 10 years from now because it's the greatest gift I can give, Hewitt told People after debuting her new svelte shape in June 2010. But that quickly went to hell in a handbasket as her big ass... I'm joking. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Why don't you let me just mess around with it, okay?
Because it is not factual, it's not true.
That's what I say to that.
Phil Henry.
Here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
So you're going back there tonight.
I am. I'm going back there tonight. I had a room at the hotel tonight, so I'm leaving our El Pacifico studio, and I'm driving back to the hotel.
Why do that?
Because we had the meeting took longer than usual, man, so I wasn't able to check out, so I just stayed there. And then I got in the car, and I came here.
Doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's making sense to me, man, okay? That's the only person that it needs to make sense for. Unlike you, who stayed in a hotel room so long because you needed to use the bathroom.
What? Yeah, what's wrong with that?
I don't know, it's just weird. So you, in other words, you checked into a hotel, and then you checked out.
Yeah, and I got to check back in.
Why?
Because I need to use the toilet.
Why didn't you use the toilet in the lobby or something?
Because it was more private.
So this guy gets a hotel for another night just because he needs to use the toilet for 5 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, well, a lot of you people don't understand. That's the way I did it.
Okay, man. Not, you know. However, yeah, so I'm going back there tonight. Tough. Okay, if you don't like it, tough. Anyway, welcome back to our program here and one more hour here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I have to pull off a couple of things here. A reminder that we are leaving Talk Radio Network on the 24th for our affiliates. For those of you who have stayed with us, for those of you who want to stay with us, we have been in touch with you. We'll continue to stay in touch with you as we move on to a new terrestrial platform. And in moving on to a new terrestrial platform, indeed we will do. We will press on regardless, man, as Russ Wheeler used to say, a guy that was on the air in Orlando, Florida, back in the day when I first started my career. Now,
you were reading about Jennifer Love Hewitt. Now, are you done with that?
Yeah, I'm done with it.
All right, so here's something else I'd like you to look at. Get a load of this. This is John Travolta crashing a wedding party looking like a slob.
Let me look at this here. John Travolta's wedding crash in jeans and T-shirt. So?
Well, what kind of an animal does that? If they're tuxedos, Phil. See, John Travolta is a big star. He's a big, big, big star. He's a movie star. And I suppose he can do anything he wants. But I think at some point there needs to be... I just don't like it. If John Travolta showed up for my wedding in jeans and a T-shirt and a baseball cap, I don't know what I would do. I wouldn't call the police. I wouldn't throw him out. I'd let him stay and wait for an opportune moment.
To do what?
Yeah.
To do something. I don't know what.
God, I mean, you know, Margaret, with you, everything is like got to be a violent reprisal.
Why do you say that?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't throw him out and I wouldn't wait. I'd wait for an opportunity.
It would make me angry, yeah, if the most important part of the bestest.
The most important day of your life?
No, I wasn't going to say that. On the best and most important day of my life, that's what I was going to say.
Well, you changed it because Mr. Henry said that it...
Just shut up, bud. Yes.
Thank you, Phil. On the best and most importantest...
On the best and most important day of your life...
Yes. On the best and most important day of my life, if John Travolta shows up in a T-shirt and a baseball cap, my God, he's asking for $300 worth.
Well, John Travolta's wedding crash wearing jeans, a black T-shirt, and a baseball cap was nothing formal, but for the bride and groom and their wedding guests, it was one big surprise. The night before their wedding, the soon-to-be-married couple met John Travolta at a bar, and the next day he crashed their wedding, reported E! Online on June the 4th, 2013. How about that?
Well, what about it?
These are just a couple of people that he met in a bar. He wasn't, he hadn't been invited.
Well, so he meets them in the bar. Can't he get into something?
He met him in a bar. I bet you it was a big thrill for these kids to see John Travolta and to have him actually come to their wedding reception. Travolta's unexpected wedding crash came to light when a friend of the groom shared the amazing surprise wedding crash event on Reddit. My friend ran into John Travolta the night before his wedding, and he shows up the next day. Apparently, John Travolta was in Georgia in order to get his pilot license renewed.
That in Russia?
No, Georgia in America.
Oh.
No, it wasn't Georgia, Russia. You mean the one that's near Russia.
Yeah, is that Russia or what is that?
It's Georgia.
Not Georgia. I mean, where's Georgia?
The one that you're talking about is near Russia. It used to be a part of the Soviet Union. It is a republic. It's a country, Georgia.
Right. That was in Russia.
It wasn't in Russia. No. Russia's Russia. Georgia's Georgia. Lithuania's Lithuania.
He doesn't get it, Phil.
All right, so in any event, it's a different... No, he wasn't there, but he was in the state of Georgia, which is here in the United States.
I get that part.
Well, good. That's the only part you need to get. So anyway, John Travolta was in Georgia to try to get his pilot license renewed. When he ran into the young couple at a bar and learned about their wedding the next day, John Travolta spontaneously decided to crash the wedding. While some Reddit commentators wonder if John Travolta ever made it out of his clothes from the night before or if he was wearing the same jeans and T-shirt to the wedding as he did at the bar, no one at the wedding party cared, although a few could smell. I'm kidding, okay?
Well, see, I was going to ask that. If he'd been partying in the same jeans and T-shirt, and you know, you sweat, and you're going to spill a drink... And you walk into a wedding, and you stink like...
Well, I don't know, Margaret.
You stink like you've been sleeping in your car, and if you had sex, now you've got that stink on you.
Uh-huh. Anything else?
What's your problem?
Yeah, what's wrong, Mr. Henry?
Well, you're sitting there. I get it, okay? If you had sex.
Boy, you really are a tight ass, aren't you? Boy, that's too bad.
While some Reddit commentators wonder if Travolta ever made it out of his clothes, no one at the party seemed to care. The actor who...
right there. See, the actor who stunk out among the tuxes... Are you ready for that? Who stunk it out among the tuxes and the tull...
No, it says stuck out.
It says he stunk it out. No, you're right.
Stuck out.
Did it say stunk it out?
Stuck out. The actor who stuck out among the tuxes and tulle, what is T-U-L-L-E, in a black T-shirt and jeans, didn't just pose for a pic with the newlyweds either. He took the bride into a bedroom. I'm kidding. He also joined the entire wedding party for a group shot, a group grope, and had drinks. Whee!
I think that's in bad taste.
Well, you know what? You guys, I'm telling you, I got to do something to lighten this up because you're bugging me, man.
What is wrong with you?
There's nothing wrong with me. It doesn't say the actor stunk it out. It says the actor stuck out among the tuxes in a black T-shirt and jeans. He stuck out. You keep wanting to say he stunk it out.
Well, I bet you did stink it out if he's wearing that.
Yeah, you know why you say that, man? Because Margaret said that. That's why you're saying it. Because you go, well, he must have stunk it out. What the hell is this? Teen builds his own submarine for $2,000. Big deal. So what? So he builds his own submarine for $2,000. I bet you if he uses that submarine long enough, that'll be a submarine and a coffin.
Hey!
What a black soul you have.
That's me. All right, coming back, we'll look into this teen who built a submarine for $2,000. How about that? And also, 100 students are ejected from a New York to Atlanta flight after acting the fools, I guess. We'll see. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
So Michelle Obama stares down heckler at fundraiser. Michelle Obama isn't quite as tolerant of hecklers as her husband is. If a late Tuesday confrontation is any indication, Obama speaking at a private fundraiser in Northwest Washington was interrupted by Ellen Sturtz, who wanted the First Lady to get the president to sign an executive order banning LGBT discrimination. So she was being heckled by somebody who is left of center, who is, you know, left-wing politics, liberal politics, whatever.
So it's someone that you would think would agree with Michelle Obama.
Yeah, that would be somebody on the same side, if you will, of the political divide as the president and his wife. It was not a conservative. According to a pool report from the Huffington Post's Amanda Turkle, Sturtz's interruption began halfway through Obama's 20-minute speech. Obama interrupted, paused, and proceeded to confront Sturtz face-to-face. One of the things I don't do well is this, replied the First Lady of the United States to loud applause. She left the lectern and moved over to the protesters, saying they could listen to me or you can take the mic, but I'm leaving. You all decide. You have one choice. The crowd started shouting that they wanted her, the First Lady, to continue. You need to go, said one woman near the protester. The protester was then escorted out shouting, lesbian, looking for federal equality before I die. First part of the quote was inaudible. Poole could not get their name before they were taken out.
What do you mean, Poole?
The Poole reporters. That is a... It's a pool report, meaning it's one reporter reporting to a whole bunch of people. See?
Well, it's not necessarily one reporter, but it could be two or three.
Yeah, but they're reporting to all you guys, right?
What do you mean, you guys? You mean me?
Yeah.
Well, yes. I mean, I'd be there. I just don't like you saying that I wouldn't be the one. You think I'm out waiting for some kid? No. Not Margaret Gray.
Well, where would you be?
I'd be the one in... What are you laughing? I'd be the one in there getting the pool report.
You play pool?
I play a little bit of... What do you mean, do I play pool?
Forget that, bud. It's not about playing pool. We're talking about...
Talk about a pool report, man.
Yeah, I got your pool report.
It ain't pool report. I'm going to belt you, and then I'm going to kick you out.
Well, you can't kick me out and then belt me.
Yeah, I can. You want to see me do it?
No.
According to a pool report from the Huffington Post of Manitoulin, Sturtz's interruption began halfway through. So anyway, according to Turkle's interview with Sturtz after the fundraiser, the activist outburst was impromptu, and she added she was startled by Obama's response. Basically, I was asked by the First Lady to be quiet, and I can't be quiet any longer, Sturtz said, adding she obviously thought she was going to make an example of me or something. I wasn't scared at all. Well, it wasn't about you being scared, Ms. Sturtz. It was about you shutting up. The Washington Post had more description for Sturtz of the incident. She came right down in my face. I was taken aback. Well, yeah, you were interrupting her speech. But the protest wasn't completely off the cuff. Sturtz said that she attended the fundraiser with the intention of confronting the First Lady. DNC officials and DNC officials after the First Lady's speech, along with other members of Get Equal, a pro-LGBT rights group with a history of publicly confronting the president. Notably, the confrontation isn't spelled out in the official transcript of the First Lady's speech. Sturtz's interjection is simply written off as inaudible. And I don't care what you believe in, we, audience member, inaudible, Mrs. Obama, wait, one of the things, audience member, inaudible, Mrs. Obama, one of the things that I don't do well is this, applause, do you understand, applause, one of the things now, and then inaudible. So this lady who interrupted was inaudible. Because the confrontation happened at a private event, there's apparently no video readily available to the whole episode. Well, look, I mean, people are, people are heckling the president. One of the things, I don't like it personally, you know.
Well, Phil, I think the LGBT community has been patient long enough. And I think it's time, Phil, time for all of the LGBT people. What are you looking at, bud?
I'm waiting for you to finish. I don't understand.
What don't you understand?
Why don't you just say what you want to say? Why are you looking at him?
Because I don't like saying something and then I see him staring at me like I landed in a flying saucer. What do you want?
Well, what do you mean LGBT?
LGBT.
Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender.
No, that's not it.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. It's lesbian.
I think Phil's right.
What did you say?
LGBT.
Say it slow.
LG.
Right.
BT.
And what do you think that is?
Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender.
No, you're full of crap.
Sounds right to me.
What is it with you, Margaret? I just said it, and you say I'm full of crap. Why? Because I said it before you did?
No, not because you said it before I did. I just think you're full of crap. The point that I'm making is this. The LGBT community has had the foot of the straight community on its neck for decades. And enough is enough. It's time now for the president to sign the non-discrimination language federally and make it legal and equal for the GB... God.
LGBT.
LGBT. Beeple.
Not beeple.
People. To be beep. Let me back up.
Margaret, you know, we don't have all night here.
Let me back... The president needs to sign this legislation so that the bell beep...
I didn't do it.
I'm not blaming you.
So that the LGBT community gets the foot of the straight community off of its neck.
That's essentially what I'm trying to say, yes.
Well, the president's going to do... You know, the president has got to be the president, which means he's got to be... He's got to walk down the road a little bit more closer to the double yellow line than on either extreme. That's just the way it is. And I was sitting at having lunch today with a guy who voted for Obama. And this dude, he can't stand the job that Obama's done. He doesn't. I mean, I'm telling you that it is to me a sign of the times. It's a sign of how critical things are. It's a sign of how tough times are. When both sides of the political aisle don't like the job the president's doing. You know, the Republicans don't like it, the Democrats don't like it, nobody likes what a president's doing. It isn't that the president's doing a bad job, because that would mean the following thing, folks. If, because the Republicans and the Democrats don't like Obama, we think he's doing a good job, we're basically saying this then, that the Republicans and the Democrats know what they're talking about. And I don't think they do.
Well, what do you think? He's doing a good job?
I think he's doing about as good a job as he can do with a Congress and an American people that have no idea what direction they want to go in. No idea at all. We got some people want to go here. There's no consensus in this country. I love listening to people talking about the American people are fed up. Which part of the American people are fed up? And what are they fed up with? I can talk to any different segment of this society and find people are fed up with this. Some people are fed up with that. And you'd swear to God, they think they're everybody. They think that they got the ear and they have the voice of every American. No, they don't. They got the voice and the ear of the people that they have the voice and the ear of. So this country has got all kinds of factions in it. And I think the president's doing about as good a job with a country loaded down with people who haven't got a clue. Haven't got a clue. Even the... I'll tell you one of the reasons why that Tea Party went belly up, and it was obvious from the beginning, when those jackasses were talking about how they didn't want the government interfering any longer, they didn't want any more taxation, they didn't want to have the government this, that, and this, that, and then they got all bent out of shape when their Medicare was threatened. So right away you say, well, wait a second, man, just exactly who are these people again? What is it that you want? How much government do you want? What?
Well, I just think, Phil, that the president is letting down. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, neither do I.
Yeah, you got everybody confused. But I'll say this. The LGBT community has suffered long enough with these slobs. Now, if the president wants to get on board and come in for the big win, that's what I say he do. Or he does. But if he wants to stand out there... like a big P-U...
Yeah.
Then...
Okay, Margaret, I would suggest that before you make your big statements, that you figure out whether it's LGBT...
The only thing I said wrong was beeple instead of people, and that's because of all that L-B-B-B. There's too many Bs, you know?
There's only one B, LGBT.
The what?
There's only one B.
Well, it sounds like there's more than one B.
Who gives a damn? The president is, number one, that's about as controversial for him. He made the statement that he believes that there should be gay marriage. He made that statement. Now, he's got, politically, it's a lot tougher. You can say a lot of things, but politically, what is he going to back? What does he think is realistic? What does he think he can get done? What does he think he can't get done? What does he think, you know, is going to go over for people? See, you can talk about gay marriage. The American people in favor of it? Most Americans now say that they are. Does that mean we got a federal law going and it's totally cool and it's constitutional? That's a different story entirely. People may like it, but they don't know what it means. And I think, you know, when it comes to human rights, there is no time like the present.
Well, then you agree with me.
Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely, I agree with you. I'm just telling you, I know how tough a decision that would be for a president, given this very, very strange and at times extremely hypocritical mood of the country. Because not everybody thinks that being gay is a orientation. There's a lot of people that still believe it's some kind of a choice or something that happened to you when you were a kid that, you know, and they don't get it and they never will. And it's like they remind me of the people that think that it's just it's against nature to have a black and a white person get married.
Ain't it? I'm kidding.
Get out of here, man.
Hey, watch.
I'm kidding. I said I was kidding.
Don't kid. We'll be back. Final half hour, world famous Phil Henry Show. Don't get around about stuff like that.
Hey, get out of here.
Don't do that, man.
History fan, I'm looking at History Channel here, and they've got something on now. This is actually H2. I got to go over to their website because it's some footage that I've never seen before. It's documentary stuff, and it's I'm not going to go. Don't worry, I'm not getting into it. It's World War II stuff.
Oh God, here we go with World War II. Hasn't that been fought and won?
Yes, it has. It just happens to be an area of interest for me. It's an area of interest for me. That's all. No big thing, you know. I don't want anybody else doesn't have to do it. And so if anybody else out there is interested, though, history.com, and the name of this is called, it's the Third Reich DVD collection. But I'm telling you, some of it is in color. It's footage I've never seen before, and I thought I'd seen it all. It's color footage. It's home movies of some of the principals that were put on trial for Hitler's attempted assassination. It's propaganda stuff. It's late in the war, German civilian stuff. Insane, man.
What is it, on the channel, on a History Channel?
On the History Channel, yeah, on the History Channel. All right, so, yeah, man, it's crazy.
What is the fascination?
Margaret, what is it with you? I have fascination, you have fascination.
Well, I beg your pardon.
Yeah, what are you fascinated with?
I don't like the way you look at me when you say that.
What is it with you? I think everything I say is sexual, everything that he says, everything around here, if we say something with our eyes wide.
I feel violated, yes.
What did I do?
You go, what do you like? And you looked at my breasts.
You gotta be kidding. You think I...
No, I don't, Phil, but I think you're still a man. And so you go, what is it that you, and your eyes go, woo, they bugged out at least a half an inch.
Uh-huh.
Don't you laugh at me.
My eyes bugged out at least half an inch.
Yes, and then I saw them go, boop, and they looked down. It looked like you were either looking at my breasts or my elbow. You're laughing.
Yeah, I am laughing. Nope, that's not got anything to do with it. That's only me, you know.
And you still haven't answered the question about the camel toe. You see, this thing, the Joanna Rohrbach, it really drives me ape. And I'll tell you why. What was that?
Doing a monkey impression?
Man, that ain't funny at all. No, that's not funny, bud.
Why?
It's not funny. You going for the laugh sucks, okay? Doing a monkey impression.
Yeah? It drives me ape, this Joanna Rohrbach Prancercise tape, that she got the shot on the Today Show, she got the shot on the Tonight Show, she got the shot on the Tomorrow Show, she got the shot on the Tuesday, whatever.
All right, so she gets the shot. You and her knew each other, but you had nothing to do with that Prancercise.
I had nothing to do with the Prancercise video, but I did want to do one called the Pancreasize video. It was exercise for the pancreas. Pancreas cancer, or pancreatic cancer, is a cancer of the pancreas, not of a region of the world. And for me to try to sell that, the same time she was doing Prancercise...
Wait, hold on for a minute.
What?
Yeah, what do you mean?
What don't you get?
Pancreasize is the what?
I said the Pancreasize was an exercise that I developed for the pancreatic cancer, so that you would not get it.
What's that got to do with a part of the world?
Because some of the imbeciles that I was trying to talk to about this thought the pancreatic was an ocean or something.
And the cancer was named after...
After some part of the world, like the ocean or the pancreatic sea.
Who are the idiots you're talking to?
I was talking to these imbeciles at Simon & Schuster. There was a couple of real brain-dead idiots. I mean brain-dead. I mean walking dead type of brain-dead. These guys were with, I think they were with Bantam Books. Real, just vacant, dead eyes.
Good Lord!
Man, how'd you ever get that sold?
What are you two laughing at?
Well, by God, who are you talking to? The dead eyes?
These were some idiots, I'm telling you, brain-dead idiots from Simon & Schuster.
And these guys thought pancreatic cancer was named after an ocean.
They thought it was the a sea or something.
Well, that's got nothing to do with this lady. She didn't do that to you. She had her Prancercise video.
No, I know that, Phil.
All right. She knocked it out of the park with the Prancercise video, and you stiffed with your pancreasize. How do you exercise the pancreas?
You exercise the pancreas by this. Here, I'll get up and show you.
Please don't lift up your skirt this time.
Shut your filthy mouth.
Hey, watch it.
Shut up. All right, now, you see I'm bending over at the waist, all right? You see that, Phil?
Yes.
All right. One, two, one, two. Oh, God.
You were sucking your gut in?
Yes, but it... Excuse me.
What was that, Robert?
Well, it's trying to suck the gut in that worst out of, what's it do?
It massages the pancreatic.
It's called the pancreas, you jackass.
Pancreas. And she was sucking her...
You okay?
Yes, I'm... It's called the pancreas. And here, I'll do it again. One, two, one, two. But you've got to really suck it in. So I make one and... God.
Why are you making that noise?
Because that's the noise that comes up. Why am I making a noise?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't look like it's anything that's going to look good on a video.
Well, I demonstrated it on a video. And Frank said the same thing. He said... You're just sucking your gut in and letting it out. Suck it. It's not as sexy. It's not as... Can you? And then he said to me something that I'll never forgive him for. Something that I will remember as long as he and I are alive and together. He said to me, can you get some camel toe?
Hey!
Don't have him laugh.
Have him laugh? You're the one that said it. Frank wanted you to get some camel toe going for your pancreatic cancer exercise.
Yeah. Don't look at me, Phil, like there's a stink coming off of me. Yes. You're like this. You've got this face like something hits your nostrils that smells like egg by way of the lower colon.
Yeah, well, I tell you, you have that look on your face, Phil.
Okay, I don't know what she's talking about. So, Frank says to you... Get him on the phone, will you, Frank Gray?
Yeah, what's the number?
The number's right there.
Sorry.
You get him on the phone. Frank said this to me when we were leaving the office, the other day. And that's what he was talking about. I don't know.
Okay, is Frank... Get him on the line. And the other thing is that we've got to wrap this up pretty quick. Hey, Frank, it's Phil Hendry. How you doing?
Hey, I'm better than Custer.
Hey, Margaret says that... You asked her if she could get some camel toe going
on the pancreatic pancreatize. Is that right, Margaret?
Yes. And what did you say?
I told him if he wants to sell his videotape of a pancreas, videotape and a pancreas, that you're going to have to do something that's going to make the sex come out of it. So I said, the pancreas. I forget what I said, but I said that something.
Well, I mean, she says that you said get some camel toe.
Well, I made the suggestion to him. You know, when a woman puts on a tight pair of pants, and he's wearing those pants, you know, and you can see his, you know, and so I was thinking that he could get it tight and nice, you know, and then, you know.
No, we don't know, Frank. Explain it so that everyone knows what you think of your wife.
I happen to love my wife very much. Don't start with whether I love my wife. I love him very much. I said to him, can you get some camel toe? Every woman does. Why can't he?
What does that mean, every woman does?
Well, take a look at your pal there, Rohrbach. He's got it going on. And how old is he? He's about 70. And I'll tell you what, for a 70-year-old woman... He's got a great-looking ass. And I'll tell you.
Well, I'm not going to get gratuitous camel toe.
No one's talking about gratuitous camel toe. I'm only asking you that if your friend Joanna Rohrbach got it going on, if he can do it, you can do it. You know, women all over America are wearing the real tight shorts and everything, and then they go out dancing and dining and so forth. And you've got women. I saw a lady here last week at the Belvedere, and he had on the tightest pair of pants you've ever seen, right? And he had a terrific body, but there was his camel toe. And
well, I mean, that's a little on the weird side. I mean, nobody wants to see that. It's almost like seeing a guy's, package without the benefit of any support. You know, it's just sort of rolling around in there. That looks kind of funky, don't you think?
Well, to each his own. I mean, I've run into some some women. There was a lady one day when I was much younger, and he said to me, "Boy, aren't you something?" And I said, "Yeah, you know, yeah." I said, "You ought to see me after the sun goes down." And he said, "Wouldn't I like to know?" And so he and I got together, and 9 months later, he gave me a daughter.
Thank you.
You bet.
Well,
aren't you having yourself a good time?
I think Frank's a great man.
Oh, do you now? Well, I'll let him know when I get home.
I think he's a great man. We'll be right back, folks, with our final wrap-up here tonight. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Truth is our bitch.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
And he gave me a daughter, and he was the cutest little...
Just as an addendum, and this is I think this is fair of Mr. Douglas, because there was a bit of a flap when he said that it was oral sex that might have caused his cancer. And the reason being, it wasn't so much, I think a lot of guys particularly said, "Oh, well, excuse me, your royal oral highness." You know, I think that's kind of a way, that's where we go. And Michael Douglas probably wasn't trying to... he was probably not trying to present that at all, but he did admit there was a tribute to the late Marvin Hamlisch. He had a public relations headache when the Guardian newspaper reported he blamed oral sex for his cancer, and his representative quickly contested the story. But the Behind the Candelabra star has found a silver lining, he said on Monday. "I never expected to become a poster boy for head and neck cancer, but... If after what started out as trying to answer a couple of questions about the suspected source of this disease results in opening up discussion and furthering public awareness, then I'll stand by that," Douglas said at an American Cancer Society tribute to composer Marvin Hamlisch. Head and neck cancer can be caused by many things, including HPV virus, smoking, alcohol, drug abuse, genes, environment, and stress. "I do not know what caused my particular cancer. If I did, I'd have a Nobel Prize."
All right, so that backs off of the idea that he was saying...
Right, that he was saying it was caused by oral sex. He might have said something that could easily have been taken that way. And here's the reason why it became a big deal. Yesterday, I know I was talking to some people about it on Facebook, and I said, well... You know, you don't want to give people the wrong idea. And somebody jumped in and said, "Well, you know, Phil, it really does cause it." So what is the percentage? And it turned out, well, it's under 30%. It's not even the most common cause of it. And you can find out whether that was the source or not by way of a biopsy. So right away, you got to give people the right scoop, man. You know, "Oh, geez, you know, this is going to cause head and neck cancer, oral sex." No, not necessarily. In fact, under 30% of all cases is caused by that. Most of it is cigarette smoking, blah, 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 all this jazz that he was talking about. But, you know, as soon as a cat... See, that's the thing, man, about when actors or any kind of public personality or anyone who, you know, somebody we admire comes out and says, "Aha, this is the thing." They can skew the information. You know, what are you looking at?
Well, you're all like, "Aha."
Yeah, you know, that was weird. That didn't make any sense.
What do you mean?
Well, you're talking really fast, feeling like, "Aha, blah, 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 blah."
Well, wait... No, I am saying something. You guys are going blah, 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 blah. I said, if there's a guy that makes a statement who happens to be a public personality, who happens to be a movie star or somebody that we admire, that statement that they make will automatically be skewed. It will automatically take on more importance than it should. It will automatically be given more credulity. It will automatically take on a more truthful aura, and it should not necessarily. And when Michael Douglas says this thing about oral sex, everybody starts thinking, "Oh, wow, that's how I got it." Or that's how he got it.
How I got it.
How he got it. God. The actor concluded, so I gave you all that stuff. I do know that I am here today because of all the incredible advances in cancer research and treatment. Early awareness is a key factor. If this episode contributes to public awareness, all the better. The Guardian published an interview in which Michael seemed to attribute his throat cancer to oral sex. Asked if he regretted years of smoking and drinking in light of his diagnosis, Douglas replied, "No, because without wanting to get too specific, this particular cancer is caused by HPV, which actually comes about from cunnilingus."
Oh, man.
Well, what are you trying to say?
I'm trying to tell you that when he made that statement, it sounds like, hey, you know, I don't want to say anything, but, you know,
yeah, he's all, yeah, check it out.
No, he didn't. He just said this particular cancer.
He didn't know, though. He didn't know. And he finally had to come clean and say, you know what, I didn't know. I don't know what caused it. And, you know, I think that there was a little bit of manliness cred.
Oh, right, Phil. The guy's head is rotting off of his shoulders as the result of cancer. What? What? You heard me.
Yeah, well, I mean,
his head's rotting off of his shoulders.
By way of cancer, and you're talking about manliness cred. No one cares about that.
Well, yeah, you're right. Okay, and I would be loath to say that Michael Douglas is a guy, is the kind of guy that's going to butcher up the facts and butcher up the truth just so he can look like some kind of, you know, Mr. Oral. But that's what it sounded like to me. So,
well, what's this manhood cred?
You know what I'm saying. All right, folks. So that's the end of that, man. And I don't want to hear any more about it. I don't want to hear any more about it. What other news you got there, bud?
Well, we got a probably should report on our sports if we know anything about it.
We don't know anything about the sports. I don't know who's in the NHL, and I don't know who's in the NBA.
Should we stop reporting it?
We probably should stop reporting it. I don't care anymore. I don't. I mean, the only thing that I did mention today, and this is something that this is the only area of sports that I was interested in today. Because I'm interested in football. I don't care about hockey or basketball. I'm not putting it down. It's fine. It's a great, two great sports. They're phenomenal. They're fantastic. Love them. But I don't care. I just don't care. I mean, I can get interested if my teams, like if the Kings, if the Lakers, whatever. But no, thank you. Now, the L.A. Rams coming back to L.A. from St. Louis, I can get with that. So we joined up a group called Bring the Rams Back to L.A. On Facebook. I'd like you to go over and find it and join up, too. And let's do the right thing. Get them out of St. Louis and bring them back to L.A. where they belong. Native American feather sparks graduation debate. Schools tough rules for grads. This year, graduation has become a battleground for some of the school officials and students, with schools tightening restrictions on who gets to walk. Who gets to walk? Seniors are fighting for their rights in the last hours of their high school careers. Take 17-year-old Chelsea Raymer. Her private school, Escambia Academy, is holding the Alabama grad's diploma and transcript until she pays a $1,000 fine, all because she hung a lone eagle feather alongside her cap's tassel during her May 23rd commencement ceremony. Raymer, a member of the, Porock Creek Band of Indians, told Indian Country Today Media that the feather was an important spiritual and cultural symbol of pride, and that she'd decided to wear it even after being warned not to by then-headmaster Betty Warren, who has since been replaced, though it's unclear whether this was related to the incident. Escambia's dress code prohibits extraneous items during graduation exercises unless approved by the administration. What do you think of that?
Well, I think she claims to be Native American.
Yes, she does.
And when you look at this girl, she's got blue eyes, brown hair, freckles. If she's an Indian, then, friend, I'm a Martian.
Well, okay, Margaret, that's not for us to decide, okay?
Yeah, you don't know if she's got an Indian in her or not.
If she's got an Indian in her?
She's got any Indian blood in her.
Well, look at that face, Phil. Do you think that's a Native American face?
I don't know. I'm not going to... If she claims it, and she is a member of this band, then she is. Are you saying if she was, then it would be cool to wear the feather?
I think it would be okay to wear the feather as a religious statement if other girls were wearing, for instance, a crucifix, a Star of David, or that kind of deal. But if she's a white girl trying to pass as an Indian, and she puts the feather on to be cool and to be in with the Indians, you see what I'm saying?
Not really, no.
Yes, you do. You just want to be a pain in the...
World-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by me, Phil Henry, and Dan Northcraft. And join us at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass for more excitement after the show tonight. Of course, check out our homepage. We will have the show log up for you. Until tonight, 10 o'clock, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.